All right, it is November 1st, so I have to ask, who is putting up a Christmas tree this weekend?
What? All right, who is like after Thanksgiving Christmas tree people?
And I love you before
that. I'm so sorry for that. Here's the reality, there's a shame. Yeah, okay, she said you gotta give thanks first. Thanks for making it feel good, right? And give thanks for my husband getting that tree out of the attic. That. But no, you know, that it's, I feel like you work so hard, right? I want to sit and enjoy it for as long as possible. So I take it down around Flatworth.
No, not quite. Well, girls, I am so glad you're here. We are in week 3, and today we're going to be in Genesis chapter 6. If you want to open up your Bible and kind of be there, have your place ready. Week 1, we talked about what is obedience and why we obey God. Last week, we talked about obeying God when he doesn't make sense, but that stretches our faith. And today, we're going to talk about the story of Noah, and we're going to talk about how we can obey God in a godless culture. How many of you feel like you can relate a little bit more to Noah in 2023 than you could in 2003? You know what I mean? A lot of things have happened and changed since then. So we're going to just dive in today. Here is our promise. When you walk with God, you'll understand things that nobody else understands. God will tell you things he doesn't tell other people. And as a result of this, this will always make you look, sound, and act differently than the things and the people around you. Does that bear witness in anybody's spirit? So we have a story in the story of Noah where we have one man who God is talking to. And that has always been so incredibly interesting to me because remember, the earth is full of people. They're just not walking with God. They're not prioritizing God. And frankly, in Genesis chapter 6, God kind of tells us what the situation is like on the ground. And I'm not going to read the whole portion of scripture there. It's in your outline. It's about 20 verses. But I sort of did in caps so you know kind of what the situation is like on the earth and what Noah did in response to that. So Genesis 6, 11 through 13, the earth was corrupt in God's sight and was full of violence. God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people on the earth had corrupted their ways. And God said to Noah, I'm going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I am surely going to destroy both them and the earth. And then Noah in verse 22, Noah did everything just as God commanded him. When you walk with God, when you prioritize your relationship with God, God will impart things into your spirit and into your mind that other people don't hear and understand. So think about it. God is telling Noah, hey, I know you can look around and you see how bad it is, and this is what I'm going to do in response to that. The Holy Spirit's ministry to you, Jesus promised us that he would teach us all things, he would bring all things to our remembrance, and he would tell us what is to come. So in the same way that God is telling Noah, this is what is going to come, the Holy Spirit will minister to you in that way. Now, how does the Holy Spirit speak to us? How does he tell us things that are to come? One, you can get a thought or an impression. For me, girls, it's almost like an arrow. It comes out of the clear blue. I know that I could not have originated that on my own. I'm not talking to myself. You know, it's something that had not even been on my radar, so to speak. I've shared a testimony with you guys last semester where the Holy Spirit just quickened me and said, go do this. And I was like, okay, I need to go do this. I was actually here in the office on a Friday a few weeks ago, and I felt the Holy Spirit say, go pray about this. And I was like, Lord, I don't think that's what my family's walking in. And it was specifically a spirit of rejection. And he said, you need to go pray, and you need to bind the spirit of rejection, and you need to pray this way over these people in your family.
And I was like, well, I guess I'll trust you. And I just start warring in the spirit, right? 2 weeks later, through the course of conversation, something bubbles up in my family, and I go, that's why I was prompted to pray. When you walk with God, God will tell you things that he's not telling other people, just like he did with Noah. So you can get thoughts and impressions. The other way that the Holy Spirit can speak to you is through his word. Now let me challenge you and encourage you. You can be an expert in the word of God. Yes, we have very anointed and gifted communicators in the church today, and I am grateful for them. I cannot get enough of Dr. Tony Evans. I love me some Robert Moore, some Priscilla Shire, some Christine Kane. When I need to just like be encouraged, I just listen to these men and women of God teach. But I want to challenge you that you can read and hear from God through his word. And you don't have to be an expert in Greek, and you don't have to be an expert in Hebrew to do it. Have you guys ever used something called a concordance? Old school, right? Well, the great news is that a lot of concordances are now available online, free of charge. But back in the old days, we used to have to use books, right? I feel like I should pretty much have like a telephone with a wire connected to it to like help my kids understand this. But when you're reading the Word of God, you can wrestle with the text. You can ask the Holy Spirit, what does this mean? What was happening when you wrote it? Because all scripture is God-breathed. He was there when it was happening. He was there when he was writing, when it was being written. And he's there to provide you the revelation. And if you will just ask questions, that's how it starts. You'll learn and sharpen your ear, and the Holy Spirit will lead you through his word, through the questions that you ask. So in this text, Genesis 6, 11 through 13, I said, Lord, what is violence? I do not speak Hebrew. That's a, yeah, shocking, right? I don't know that many, mazel tov. That is the extent of my Hebrew. So I'm like, Lord, what is violence? So you can go to your concordance, and you can look up the word violence. And James Strong, 1890, you look up the word violence, and it tells you, Genesis 6:11, the earth was filled with violence. And it says, go to word 2555. Okay, here we go. We're going to go to word 2555. Because the English language has one word, and many times Greek and Hebrew have four or five words that mean the same thing. And that's why when you read the Amplified Bible, it has the little parentheses, and it tells you he was hungry, famished, starving, his belly was empty and void, right? It like expands out on it. New Living Translation says he was hungry. You know what I mean? But you kind of get the context of how hungry was he really. Because English only has one word. The Greek and the Hebrew may have several words. So we go to word 2555, and we're like, what is the violence that God is talking about? Interesting. Violence, wrong, cruel, false, injustice, oppressor, unrighteous, violent dealings. And the word is pronounced Hamas. That's interesting, Lord. So you dig a little deeper and you go, the word for violence in Hebrew in Genesis 6:11 is the word Hamas. So you can go to the blueletterbible.org. That is a trusted concordance, a trusted source, because girls, how many of you know not everything on the internet can be believed, right? Especially the dieting pills. Don't believe any of those. But blueletter.org, you can go to the verse. You can click on the word. And I'm not sure if you can read it from all the way back there. But it'll say this word, the literary translation is Hamas. And then it gives you the description. And it says here in the Blue Letter Bible, I can't read it from my sign, but it's basically saying what I shared here. Violence, full of evil intentions, intentional cruelty. Now we know, if you're paying attention to current events, we're in day 23 or 25 of Israel's war against Hamas. So Hamas is an acronym for the Harakat al, I can't pronounce that, but basically in English, the Islamic Resistance Movement. Do I believe that an Arabic terrorist group picked a Hebrew word to describe themselves? No. But I do believe that the same spirit that Noah was contending with is the same spirit we are contending with.
Amen.
And so you can call yourself the Islamic resistance movement, and you can call yourself Hamas, but the Hebrew pretty much tells me the spirit that I'm warring against when it comes to the current events of the day. So
when you read that, it kind of brings to your remembrance, you're wrestling with the text, you're asking these questions, you're reading the story, you're asking the Holy Spirit to help you. And then the Holy Spirit will do things. He will bring things to your remembrance. And you remember, oh, Jesus told me in Matthew 24, as it was in the days of Noah, so it shall be in this coming of the Son of Man. For it was in before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and given in marriage until the day Noah entered the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them away, so shall it be when the Son of Man comes. So that is how you can hear from God, you can know the things that other people don't know, in the same way that God spoke to Noah, he will speak to you, and you can learn the Greek, you can master the Hebrew, you can get a concordance or just a good internet signal and go to blueletterbible.org and just have the Holy Spirit walk you through the scriptures. So in Noah's day, the spirit of Hamas is covering the whole earth. It is a spirit of violence. People are completely corrupt. And here we say, you will either be governed of one of two spirits, the Holy Spirit or the spirit of darkness. But every human being on the planet is being governed and led by one of those two. And in Noah's day, his wife and children are the only ones serving the Lord. Now this really, again, asking questions, because I just am so curious about things. I'm like, how did we get to flood stage? Like, how did we end up on a planet that is so evil? Like, where did we go wrong? Because remember, Genesis chapter 1 is the Garden of Eden. We're just five chapters into the story of humanity, and God wants to start over. That's not a lot of time, right? So in Genesis 5:23, well, let me show it to you this way, because I'm visual. You guys know that, right? So here we have, this is the family tree. You've got Adam and Eve, and then you have Cain, Abel, and Seth. So you guys know the story. The reason why Abel doesn't have any boxes under him is because his brother Cain killed him.
Because he was jealous that God treated him.
100%. He was jealous. And the Lord speaks to Cain and he says, sin crouches at your door and it longs to have you and you must master it. And Cain doesn't, and he gives in to that jealousy and he slays his brother. So Cain's descendants are there, Enoch, Erad, Mahujalah, Methuselah, and then Methuselah has Adah and Lamech. Actually, he has one son, Lamech, and Lamech is the first one to introduce plural marriage. So he's the first one to say, hey, I'm going to go against God's order. Now, keep in mind, Adam is still walking on the earth. He can talk to his great-grandfather. The timelines, men lived hundreds of years. But he's making a choice in his mind that he's going to go against God's order. And then we just read in Genesis chapter 5, Lamech said to his wives, I have killed a man for wounding me, a young man for injuring me. If Cain is avenged 7 times, then Lamech 77 times. So what Lamech is saying is, I am going to take revenge over seeking redemption. I am going to redeem my own family from the curse of Cain. We don't need God. We're going to figure this thing out. And if I have to kill every man who offends me to do it, I'll do it. So when you ask, like, how did we end up in flood stage? When man decides that he can live apart from God, things start spiraling south pretty dang quick. And that's how you end up at flood stage. Now, in Genesis chapter 4, we read that Seth is born. We have where God, Adam and Eve have another son. She gives birth to him. And she says, at that time, men began to call on the name of the Lord. So in this family tree, you have an entire branch that is not serving the Lord at all. And it isn't until Seth is born that men began to call on the name of the Lord. And if you follow Seth's line all the way down, that's how you end up with Noah. So how do we get to flood stage? People make very distinct decisions and take separate paths of whether or not they are going to be their own God or follow God. And when you look at the story of Noah, when men decide they will be their own God, you end up in a situation where God goes, Hamas has covered the earth. It is violent evil, and I am going to have to bring judgment against that, because it's not just defying the laws of nature, it is defying my authority of God. Can we wait till the end? Is that okay? So that's the family tree there. So then we have our first point here. Noah was willing to walk with God when nobody else was. Noah and his brothers and sisters, Genesis 5:30. So Noah had brothers and sisters. That's so interesting to me that Noah had a family like you and I have a family, but only Noah, his wife, and his sons got into the ark. So when scripture says Noah was listening to God, that means truly it was just Noah hearing from God in that moment. His grandfather was Methuselah. He died the year the flood started. And then Noah's father died 5 years before the flood. So truly it was just Noah in that season hearing and walking with the Lord. So here's the encouraging thing for you and I. We have something Noah didn't have. We have the Holy Spirit on the earth. We have the ability of the Holy Spirit to come and reside in us, teach us, encourage us, and speak his word to us. So I always want to say, yes, our culture is demonized in 2023, just like it was in Noah's day. Yes, there is evil in men's heart, just like it was in Noah's day. Yes, Jesus has prepared us, just like he did in the 2,000 years ago. He prepared us for what the world would look like in 2023. And Acts 16 says he has set the boundaries and times by which men will live. He looked down through history and down through the centuries and said, I want Sarah Stevens living in 2023. I want Monica Goforth living in 2023. I want Leah Beth Nettles living in 2023. So he appointed the time and the boundary and the season that you could live. And then the last one that I love and I cling to is 1 Corinthians 2:10. We have the mind of Christ. We can look at every current event. We can look at every decision, every relationship, every challenge that we have. And we're not making decisions in our own wisdom. We're making decisions through the wisdom of God's own Spirit. We can have the mind of Christ. And the mind of Christ is wise, but it is also full of peace. So we have something that Noah didn't have. So let me just give a couple thoughts here. Disobedience is typically not the result of ignorance. Foolishness is typically the result of ignorance. And ignorance is just a term to mean they lack knowledge. They just don't have the understanding. I remember there was a story I read about a young boy who took his mother's brand new coffee carafe outside in the backyard and decided to make mud pies with it. And she comes outside and she's like, well, I don't think I'll be using that when the neighbors come over. And she was so frustrated by it. She talked to her husband about it. And he said, honey, he's not being willfully disobedient. He doesn't understand that the coffee carafe is set apart for a different use. He just thought, this is going to carry a lot of water and help me make a lot of mud pies. This is going to be perfect. So ignorance, disobedience is typically not the result of ignorance. Foolishness is typically a lack of knowledge. Disobedience at its heart is a grasp of control. I know better than God. You know the thing that you should do, and you don't do it. So rebellion is an attitude. So disobedience is, I know what I should do and I don't do it. And then that degrades itself to rebellion. And then rebellion is an attitude and it says, hey, it's beyond, I'm just doing what I want to do. Now I have an attitude towards God's authority. And that's where the situation had degenerated to with Lamech. It wasn't just that he was deemed disobedient to God's word. Now he has, or God's authority, he has an attitude towards God where he is putting himself above God. And that's where we see civilization unraveling. So you guys know the scripture. It says rebellion is as witchcraft. It's in 1 Samuel, the prophet Samuel speaking to the king. The reason that the prophet says that is that when you are in an attitude of rebellion, You are exalting another spirit above God. Whatever that spirit is it your pride? Is it your fear? Is it your whatever is causing you to say, I know better than God? That is why that attitude of rebellion, the prophet says, it is like witchcraft. All right, so the other thing I want to encourage you with is that obedience isn't on a timetable. This is where it gets so hard for you and I, because I don't know about you, but I want to do the right thing and then get rewarded for it right away. I'm like a puppy. You're trying to like potty train a puppy. They get a treat as soon as they do the right thing, right? Well, what's so challenging for you and I is that a lot of times obedience is not on a timetable. We know that Noah preached righteousness. That's what 2 Peter 2:5 tells us. And he built the ark for some time between 75 and 120 years. Man, I get frustrated when God doesn't answer my prayers in like 72 hours, right? But he stayed faithful to that. So you see examples of where people, when they try to circumvent God's timing, it always leads to a fruit they didn't expect. And a great example of this is in Genesis chapter 16 and 17. You guys know the story of Abraham and Sarah. And God had promised that Abraham would be a father of many nations. And Abraham is sitting on that promise for decades upon decades upon decades until he's like 80 years old and Sarah is 70 years old. And his wife says, hey, I've got a great idea. I think that God can bless our family through my handservant, my maidservant, Hagar. Sleep with her, she'll give us a son, and we'll raise him as our own, and God can make us a mighty nation through that. And so they got impatient with God's timing. And what I love about the ministry of God to Hagar, because once she gave birth to her son, she fled to the desert because Sarah was so cruel and unkind to her. Sarah and Abraham never called Hagar by her name. They always said, your servant, my servant, the hand servant. The first time we learn her name is when God calls to her in the desert. And he says, where are you running to? You know, God sees when you've been mistreated by the people who are supposed to love you the most. God sees when people use you and abuse you. And your reaction is to flee and to get alone. But I love that a loving God chased her and chased after her and said, you're not going to die in this desert. I am going to bless your son. I'm going to make him a mighty nation. He has a destiny on his life. But go back to Abraham and Sarah. So we hear that story and we see the results of what can happen when we get impatient with God. People get hurt. Traumas happen. We circumvent God's best for our lives. And Noah is patient for 75 to 120 years building the ark. I want to just share with you that when I was reading the story in Genesis about Noah, the only confirmation that he got that he'd heard from God, because think about it, he's never seen rain. He's 100 miles inland. He's building this boat in faith. There's no, like, confirming word. There's not a relative who can come to him and say, hey, you've done a great job. You're on track. God is with you. Nothing. The only time he gets confirmation that he's actually doing what God has told him to do is in Genesis chapter 7. This is right before the rain falls. And it says, pairs of animals came to Noah. Noah didn't have to go scoop up animals and like safari, like, yeah, round up those giraffes, right? Scripture tells us that all of a sudden, pairs of animals just start coming towards him. I think it was at that moment, he's like, well, I'll be doggone, I think I heard God. I have built this boat, and sure enough, animals are coming and getting in it. And then 7 days after that moment, imagine living in a boat with animals for 7 days. So even if you think, oh Lord, I think I heard you, but now are you sure I heard you? Heard you? Am I opening a zoo or building an ark? I don't know. 7 long days, and then the rain came. So many times
because you and I are in a season, we're in that 7 days, where we've got maybe a little bit of confirmation that we're doing what God's called us to do. And the temptation we have is to just like backtrack or second guess, just hold on through the 7 days and just wait on God and his timing and his promises. Then the floodwaters came. So here's my last thought before we jump into our discussion time. I want to challenge you. You are building an ark today. With every act of obedience to God and his word, you are building a spiritual ark for yourself and for your family. I shared earlier this week on social media that the word for pitch in the Hebrew is also used for atonement. So when God spoke to Noah and told him to build an ark and to put pitch between the planks, that same word is used for atonement. So in his obedience, Noah is fashioning this physical boat together to save his family and to be obedient to God. In the same way, every act of obedience, every act of faith, every time you choose to follow God rather than the voices that are telling you to do other counsel, you are putting pitch between the planks. And the floodwaters will come. They will come. And because of the atonement of Jesus Christ, he sprinkled it on your hearts. You are safe. You are secure. You are going to be able to walk out what God has for you. You are building an ark. I remember Avery was a newborn, and we were going to church in Northern Virginia, and our pastor was Pastor Mark Johnson. And he was encouraging his congregation, and he said, every time you choose to come to the house of the Lord, that's another plank in your ark. Every time you choose to prioritize the word of God and to read it in your home and allow and to teach it to your children, you put another plank in your ark. And some people have rowboats and some people have arks. But every decision that you make, you are fashioning together an ark for you and your family that they can get into and weather any storm that you have. Well, man, my daughter's 17. And so for 17 years, I've been like, there's another board. There's another little inch of pitch. Oh, the waters are getting higher. I'm not worried about the waters. I'm just focused on the ark that God is telling my husband and I to build. And I would encourage you, do not focus on the waters. Do not focus. Isaiah tells us that darkness, deep darkness, has covered the earth and will cover the earth. But the glory of the Lord has come and shone on you. So just focus on the glory of the Lord shining on you. You are in covenant with God. You are obedient to God. There is pitch between your timbers, and he will see you through in every way. So friends, that is the story of Noah. I know you're going to have an incredible time of discussion at your table. Let me just pray for you if I can, and then we'll go into that discussion time. Holy Spirit, Father, I thank you so much for your goodness. I thank you, Father, that your word is as true today as it was in Noah's time. God, I thank you that you've redeemed us from the curse of sin. God, that we've been grafted in to the lineage of Jesus Christ. Father, through the blood of Jesus Christ, we are sons and daughters and heirs. God, we are bigger than who our parents were. God, we are not their mistakes. Father, we are walking in a new light, in a newness of Christ's goodness, his mercy, and his will for us. Father, I pray for every woman here that you would encourage her, that you would make her wrestle with the word of God, that you would speak to her in her dreams, that you would speak to her in impressions. God, that you would speak to her through your word. God, that she would wrestle with the text, that she would ask the right questions, that you would fulfill your ministry, Holy Spirit, that Jesus promised us you would, that you would teach us all things, you would bring all things to our remembrance, and you would tell us things that are to come. God, I bless every woman here in her household. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, I'll come visit with you and answer that question, and then you guys enjoy your time of discussion.